Welcome back from the desk of low. I have with me, he's a monster on the microphone, so you don't want to fuck with him. My first guest and my dog right there, Kid Vicious, shout out to Vish, actually put me on to Mr. Aztec the Butterfly I got on the phone. How are you doing, sir?
Yo, man, just, living it, man. It's Monday evening, about to get into some music here in a little bit, man. You know, just going through some samples and shit and...
Oh, you always
doing whatever, man.
It's good to see that you always stay recording, sir.
Yeah. So, definitely. Shout out to Vicious. Yeah, that's the big homie right there, man.
Yes, sir. He's a good dude.
Excellent, man. One of the best. They, we were lucky enough. I got him on two different joints on the Lion King record, so that was a blessing.
Oh, we'll get into that after, sir. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
So, let's start from the beginning, sir. Where did you grow up?
What, you said where?
Yeah.
In between Southwest Detroit and like Metro Detroit, like 10 minutes outside of there.
Okay. So have you ever moved outside of Detroit, or you've always been Detroit-based?
Always been here. Yeah, always been here. It's good to be home. You know what I mean?
It's good to hear that. You know, some of the people in 313 are some of the most realest people ever.
Yeah, for one reason or another. You know, Detroit's definitely seen some ups and downs, and I think over the course of the last, maybe 10 years or so, there's definitely an upswing, definitely a revitalization that's going on. The music has always been A1, you know, it's just some of the areas in the city, the culture and climate, just needed a little bit of improvement. I think it's been a focal point of everything that's happening.
You have a very unique story coming up, because I always do my research on my guest, and it's kind of blown away how you're pretty much the only person from the hardcore scene to cross over. We'll get into that after, but like, just wondering, when did you first find your passion for music?
Again, not to be like, cliche, but... you know, having like an older brother who's who was pretty grounded into anything hip hop, really, whether it was East Coast, West Coast. Having him a few years older than me, I was exposed to a lot of things that I wouldn't have been otherwise at that younger age. There wasn't really too many outlets in the city like that at that time, so. Having, like an older brother who was listening, like I said, I mean, everything, you know what I mean? And, I say this story all the time, when he'd leave or he was sleeping or something, I'd just go in and sneak in and just take out whatever I could and just absorb it, sponge the shit out of it, man.
Was hip-hop always your first passion, or did you feel like, what was the first album you ever heard in life?
If I can go back, I think,
I know it's a tough question.
No. I mean, well, growing up in, like a Latino household, there's always been music around, whether it was, Mexican music or, any type of like thing like that. My mom, my uncles were really big into Motown. So there was a lot of, like 80s R&B that was my mom would always listen to, drop me off at school or doing whatever. But I think the first, like, actual record. I owned, I want to say it was like Thriller. I think it was the Thriller actual vinyl. And then my brother and I got into like a fight over it or some shit like that. We ended up like snapping the vinyl in half. So.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
And that's a good vinyl to get over a fight over, though. That album classic.
Yeah. I remember that video. That video was tripping me out when I was a little kid, yeah.
So was Aztec the Butterfly always your stage name at first, sir? And did you always want to be a rapper at first? Or because, like, I know you have a history of, is it hardcore? Is it called, sir?
Yeah. Hardcore, definitely. Detroit hardcore, huge influence on me.
So Aztec the Butterfly.
It was, in the beginning, I didn't necessarily have the moniker of the Butterfly. It was, like Aztec 9 or something like that, and the main playing a spin off of like Gone or some shit. I don't know what it was, but it's always been like Aztec, always been town pride and carried that with, you know, as far as part of my culture and, you know, the Aztec calendar, the Mayan calendar being, you know, like a big symbol, always represented in households and, you know, things like that.
So
I kind of just carried that in there. And then early on, in one of my solo records, I said something that was like, you know, Aztec, the barfly, and I was like, hey, yeah, kind of dope. You know, and then, so it kind of like, it's like a play on words, like a double entendre, like, you know, you can find me in your local bar, you know what I mean? Obviously, just putting them back and then, you know, let the bars fly kind of thing, the bar fly, you know?
Oh, okay, I get it now.
Yeah, yeah.
See, and that's why I always figured why rappers always should do interviews, because, like, I'm very humbled that you were willing to do this. A lot of rappers ain't willing to do interviews, Mr. Aztec.
Oh, no, man. Honestly, it's my pleasure is mine. Seriously, I take pride in what I do, so the fact that anybody else would take time to consider it, I mean, is just huge for me.
Oh, well, I appreciate that, sir, because I'm going to say I bumped all your albums. I haven't gotten to Suicide Kings yet, but I did bump Bully Camp, and wow.
Bully Camp, yeah.
You guys are fucking insane on the mic. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that was a nice little collective of, you know, basically what it was is just some fam over here. As I've mentioned, well, Suicide Kings is actually one of the homies, Joe Bananas, who started out here in doing the hardcore thing too. He's actually one of the other MCs that was doing the hardcore crossover into hip hop as well. But when he started doing the hip hop thing, he was on Calgary. Funny enough, he hooked up with one of the homies out there. His name's King Cole, DJ/producer. Yeah, and they started doing that thing. He ended up coming home and you know, kind of just, you know, it's like, hey, let's get this shit going. You know what I mean? I guess, like, for lack of a better term, like a collective, it kind of seemed like a, not Jedi mind tricks kind of thing, but like a little bit in the vein of that, with, like, as far as like the aggression with the bars, but the production was way different. You know what I mean? It had more of a Detroit kind of feel.
It had like that raw Detroit unique sound to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So did you start your career rapping with them, or did you just kind of meet them along the way, along with your career?
Started in high school. Everybody, you know, kind of was, especially like, you know, in the urban area, people were just rapping and people were breakdancing, people doing whatever. Just hip-hop and rap in general had, you know, a big clasp on, you know, and it's the same way now on the climate and things that happen. You know what I mean? It's always been extremely popular, you know, since the late 70s, early 80s. Just writing little raps and this and that, getting open mics in the neighborhoods. And then after, you know, graduating high school, just maybe got into a little bit more serious. Jumped into a crew called the Rising Suns. We put a couple records out. Again, it was nothing major, but it was a huge accomplishment for me and my partner at the time, Joe Beeps. We were able to collab with two of our favorite artists at the time, Chino XL and R.A. the Rugged Man.
Yeah, those guys are legends right there, too. They're from the early 90s, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, you know, we linked up with them. And this was like in the early 2000s. I want to say like 2002 or 2003, something like that.
Oh, wow.
We ended up putting that record out. Yeah. And the cool thing with that was like when I really started getting into the production side of shit, aside from just MCing, you know, just spending all the money and all the time in between, you know, whether it was work or college classes, just any record store I could get my hands on. Me and the homie Jimbo Slice, my DJ/, you know, brother in music, you know, we'd spend hours and hours sitting in stores and just kind of honing that craft, understanding what it was to, you know, like the whole, again, just not just making beats, but just trying to, you know, just producing music.
So that's very good that you said that, how you guys would always spend your money into your craft, because that's what a lot of people, they don't understand. You have to invest in yourself.
And, you know, I mean, with just the way it is now, you know, social media and the way that it just dominates everything. You know, you turn your computer on and, you know, you have a studio, or you have a soundtrack or a band, you know, whatever it is. It's, and you really don't have to, you know what I mean? That's why I've always, you know, tried to differentiate between, you know, there's tons of rappers, but how many, you know, MCs are there? You know what I'm saying? Like,
and how many MCs lasted throughout the years that you did? Because you're still on top of your game, too. Like, you're very competitive when it comes to rap. And I'm just wondering, have you ever considered being a battle rapper before?
I've tossed it around. I've tossed some thoughts about that back and forth in my head. But I can't, you know, I can't take away from anything those guys do. I mean, those guys, it's a different breed. You know what I mean? How they got it like that. And I'd say anytime I kind of, I approach, a track, a pen and pad or anything like that, where, you know, you're being competitive, whether it's a collab track or anything like that, or you're just trying to outshine somebody, you know, friend or foe, whatever. It's just, it kind of turns into its own little battle, right? But like, it's like a friendly competition. So, but like, as far as like on a platform like that, nah, I don't think it's my thing.
No, well, I'll tell you one thing, sir. I think you can last against those guys.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, like even just, you know, just their capacity for, you know, retaining all of that material. That's obviously, you know, that's obviously something we do as MCs. But I think their wittiness and their ability to just, you know, do the rebuttals and this and that. I mean, that's shit, man. I admire the hell out of that. A few of my homies are pretty big into that. And obviously, you know, the Detroit, you know, the legends, Marv One, Quest McCody, those guys, I mean, shit, man. And I mean, if you know battle rap, you know them, right?
Oh, yes, sir. And if you don't, you might want to go look them up, people.
Yeah, definitely.
So, because you've been in the game for a while, I'm just wondering, can you remember the first show that you ever did outside of Detroit, like the first tour that you ever got booked for?
Outside of Detroit, let's see. Probably just, I mean, not too far away. Stayed in like in the Midwest area. You know, doing shows in like in Columbus, Ohio, Indiana, and it was there was a lot of groups that were like, you know, like they had that like starving artist appeal, kind of like the same thing we were doing. Some of the content was similar as well. Kind of just like, you know, buck the system and this is what we're doing. If you don't like it, you know, kiss off kind of thing. Established a lot of context through that. Big one. Went over, shout out to my homie Dante. Went overseas with him. It's pretty cool. We did a couple open mics out there and, you know, got to experience that kind of thing. But yeah, you know, still a lot of places I haven't been, and you know, looking forward to that. And you know, with dropping this project, I think that's going to open a lot of doors.
Oh yeah, sure.
You know, the collective as a whole, Middle Finger Music. We move as one. We move as one unit. And you know, if somebody's dropping something, we're all on top of it. You know, so that way everything is just is viewed as just as one single unit. You know, we're pretty self-contained. There's not, you know.
You don't really go outside.
Not really,
So, would you say you have a big European following? Because a lot of artists, I noticed, they be getting booked overseas a lot.
Man, that's where people go to get their money. You know what I mean? Like, you get the tours over here, but I mean, I know some national artists. They just, yeah, they look forward to it. It's a vacation for them, and they cake up while they're out there. I don't know about big, but I mean, definitely, you know, I look at the sales with it, you know, they had a sales report and I look at this, and, you know, their sales in Japan, in Amsterdam, Australia. I mean, they're all over the damn place. And I'm thinking, wow, that's crazy. Like this social media thing really works, you know?
Yeah. Like, and can you imagine if we had it in the '90s, Jesus Christ.
Oh my God. Yeah. No.
Can you imagine a Biggie Smalls Instagram?
What's that?
Can you imagine a Biggie Smalls Instagram, all the shit he would have posted on there?
Oh, hell. Yeah, that's wild.
Also, too, so What would you say is, because I'm pretty sure you put out mixtapes before you put out an actual album, of course.
Well, definitely, like, we'll put, like, I'll put releases out, again, through social media. It's kind of like, that provides for that, you know what I mean? Like, little samplers here and there, and I'm not really the mixtape, I guess per se, like, kind of like package kind of deal, but I'd rather just, have some 100% just authentic, something organic with a producer I know, and, kind of just leak joints here and there, and or, jumping on other people's projects, consistently. And just, staying relevant through that channel.
So would you say the Barbelly is your first official release?
Well, the one before that,
Or Chapel, sorry.
the 16 Chapel, the record before that.
Yeah. Oh, there's one before the 16 Chapel? Oh, see, Tidal will be slacking on this. I gotta get back on Apple Music.
It's up there. It's on Apple. It's on definitely on Spotify.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, the 16 Chapel was a big record for me.
Let me just double
When I had I don't like saying broke off, but when I ventured off into like a solo career kind of thing, I was recording music weekly. And I mean, at a point, I had amassed over, I don't know, almost, a couple hundred songs, and I was like, shit, it's time I gotta try to like formulate this and like, put a face on the project kind of thing. So, and that's kind of where the angle I took it at was, saying the 16 rather than the Sistine Chapel. So the 16, it was like basically just a this piece, this like just focusing on all these different types of verses and different, concepts of music and this and that, and but just in the form of just obviously 16 bar verses and just really just honing in on that and that craft and, letting some of that aggression out. So it was that one, and then then the Bar Bully, and then
Okay, yeah, my bad. They do have I just got the projects mixed up, that's all. The fa that's the 16th Chapel is the album with Slingshot and the Phantom, some of my favorites on that, but I already told you that.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
On my notes it just says the chapel, so I just have to go back. I'm like, let me just double check this.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's definitely on title, so I just wanted to make sure that we got the right name for the listeners.
Excellent.
Too, with that too, how long would you think that album took you to record?
The 16 Chapel?
Yes, sir.
We'll see again. It's hard to say because, some of the songs I recorded like in the beginning of the process, or the like recording like process. Some of them I recorded a week before, like before we were almost done. But the whole process of me just, kind of like, growing and developing and just, again, honing that craft, I would go and just know that I was going to record songs that I wasn't going to put out. It was just a matter of just staying focused and staying healthy as far as, an artist. And just hearing these songs come out, different concepts and different, like, ideas I had in my head. But I'd say probably the better part of about 5 years.
Okay. So when you
Yeah.
say, because I notice you do have a lot of concepts too, I'm just wondering, like, what inspires you to put a lot of concepts in your music?
Back then it was a multitude of things. It was things like personal shit I was going through. It was I was clashing with a lot of things, I guess, in my own personal life. And it came out. It came out in the music. And I'm really glad that it did. There's a lot of, aside from just the bully bars and shit behind that, there's a lot of, like, things I'm saying kind of, like, in undertones, like in the Phantom, and the song, The Monster. There's a lot of, like, personal shit I'm saying, but, to the naked eye, it really goes undetected.
Yeah, for like the people who ain't tuned in, like the bug just kind of goes over their heads.
Yeah.
And like that's the thing, what draws me to your music too, because like I like people who put effort into their music, because like I'm pretty sure you heard this, everyone heard this album, Only Built for Cuban Links.
man.
So you know all the lingo and that. Like to this
day, you know what? That's crazy that you said that. I just moved. That's super crazy. I was just grabbing something out of my seat, and I just moved my. They came out with that. It was the 25-year the box set they.
Oh, you got that box tape of that purple tape?
Yeah, with the book and the new purple tape. Yeah,
that is classic. I have the Jizza one, but that purple tape one. Oh, you better hold on to that. So that is rare as fuck.
Yeah, the Jizza one was that the chessboard?
Yeah, it came with it. I have it right in front of me. Actually, it comes with you just take the top off, and it has the little chess pieces on it.
That's wild. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't even know. Like that's like some of the things that I'll be saying, and then like how you said that, like that just sure that's. It's just funny how the universe works sometimes.
Yeah, 100%.
So when it comes to being very competitive, I heard in an interview, I can't remember which one, you said that you wanted to drop 5 or 6 albums a year. Now, I'm wondering, was this a time around the Bar Burly that inspired you to do that, or did you always want to do that?
To be honest, I'm not gonna say words like disappointed or shit like that, but I because everything happens for a reason, right? But I by now I should have at least 3 more records out, and but they're all coming out really soon, really soon. Again, with Middle Finger Music, the platform is allowing us as the collective to, you know, just showcase our ability and our talent, and basically. Again, just sticking that middle finger up, saying, you know, okay, we're going to put out the music we want to make now. We don't really have these, like, deadlines. There's nobody breathing down our neck. And again, as an artist, you know, staying prolific, you know, I think I'm pretty sure any MC who's, you know, doing what they're doing is, you know, writing at some point in their head every day. I know I am. So that will definitely be something that's more evident in this year to come. I'm looking to have at least 2 more projects out.
And that's good because in these day and times that people always say that you have to be consistent.
Yeah, you have to, 100%. You know, people's attention spans. And because there is so much music that's coming out, and good music, really, really good hip-hop. You know, as far as just, I mean, staying relevant, staying afloat, being competitive on that level, you know, you just have to have material. You have to stay focused. It's easy to just rest on your laurels and say, okay, well, you know, I just put the biggest record out of my life, you know. Had a great release party. Everything was a success. Great, getting great reviews, doing interviews. Okay, now I can just, nah, bullshit, man. You know what? Pick up the pen. You know what I mean? Stay sharp.
Always got to work on your craft, even after, like, with my theory is, if an artist has the biggest hit in their career, they should try to go back and try to top that biggest hit.
Exactly.
It's good to see you have that mindset. 100%. Because a lot of rappers, it's like what you said, they do that, too. And you're very home team. I'm wondering, like, what inspired you to stay within your collective and just working with them? Because you could branch out and do your own thing, but you choose to keep it home team.
Well, I mean, honestly, that's simple. So we have the same vision. And again, that's just, you know, taking, I guess, you know, the bull by its horns kind of thing and just not taking no for an answer. It's real, and having that same drive. That's one thing I think that is specific to our team is, you know, there's no, you know, that's just, you know, the old saying, there's no I in team. It's just, if we move, we move. We move as a team. And I think, you know, with that, that's, there's definitely, it's a force to be reckoned with. But also, you know, I mean, these are my brothers. I mean, these are guys that I've known for years now. This isn't just, you know, something like, hey, you know, who are you? Oh, okay, dope. No, I'm dope. You're dope. No. I mean, I've grown with these guys over the years. So to me, it only seems right to say, okay, well, if we're going to do this on a bigger level, bigger platform, you know, to do it with the home team. You know, Foulmouth, since I've really been serious about doing music, I've known him. You know, I look at him as a brother, man. And he's just, over the past, you know, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years or something like that, you know, he's one of the more sought-after producers not just Detroit. I mean, just in general.
Worldwide.
You know, he's getting a lot of good looks. You know, Shade 4-5 plays his music on the regular, you know, for other MCs to, you know, just rhyme over when they're doing their freestyle sessions. And that's like mind blowing to me. That's like one of the biggest platforms there is. You know what I mean? I mean, you got legendary DJs just playing your shit on the regular. Like that's so humbling.
On satellite radio too. So that's international.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, on Shade 4-5. I mean, come on.
Like that, there's people like that are 85. Like, can you put on Shade 4-5?
Yeah.
We're Foul Mouth. Because I wanted to get into the Lion King. Did you always want to do like a full project with one producer? Because I know like you do it, but like you actually have him credited on the actual cover.
Yeah, and that's what it was. It was it's a collaboration. It was a vision that you know, that he and Pat, you know, Pat 313, basically, you know, he spearheaded the whole middle finger thing. But, you know, we had the idea because as I was recording songs, you know, Farmoff and then Pat kind of like looked at me and said, well, what, you know, let's finish this out and this is what we're going to do. You know, soundtrack by Farmoff. So it's definitely a group project. It's not just, oh, okay, you know, like some people look at something like, well, you know, project where, say you have somebody like Premier produced, you know, like Prime. Look at Prime. It's a perfect example. Like, that's DJ Premier and Royce the 5'9". It's not Royce just being an MC. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Because even Premier spit some bars. Even on the first Prime, Premier spit some bars, just like how Foul Mouth did.
Yeah.
Although I can't picture DJ Premier.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. I mean, I'm sure you heard, you know, you heard the Bully Camp record. Foul Mouth is by design, he's an MC. He was MC first before he was producing.
Would you say that you came up with the title The Lion King, or was it kind of like you and him, like just kind of put it together?
I actually think that he pitched the idea, and we were thinking about concepts for the cover. And then, you know, we started spinning ideas. And I immediately fell in love with the idea of the play on The Lion King. And then the artwork fell into place. So I would have to credit him on that one.
Okay. Well, at least you give credit where it's due, and that's a real one right there.
But you have to. No, you have to.
And then, too, when I listened to that, I noticed that you got my dog Vish on not one, but two of them records. I'm wondering how those come about.
Foul Mouth had the connect already through Vish. Vish's record before that, I think it was a mixtape. It was called The Purge. And you know, that shit's banging front to back.
Yes, sir. That's on Iron Man of him and Conway.
Yeah. And I believe on The Purge, I think Foul Mouth had either five or six joints in there. So, you know, I was always a big fan. Obviously, a voice, number one, and number two, just watching Vish just being way more, like, you know, like relevant and just present in the scene. Just, you know, he just started bugging out. And just, you know, going crazy. So, you know, I said to Foul Mouth, I'm like, man, like, you know, how are the fam? And, you know, and I'd known him for a while, and, you know, just finally just hit him up. And it was like, yeah, you know, let's make it work. And the one, when we did Jerry Ball, he came in, that was the first one. And then the second one, Fair Warning, I think he wrote it on the spot. 24 bars. I was like, God damn, okay. You know what I mean? Like, I came to the studio with my shit, and I think he wrote it on the spot, and yeah, he sounded off on that one.
Yeah, that's Alien Game right there.
Yeah. So, definitely Alien. Yeah.
So you guys were actually in the studio. You guys didn't do it over email.
Oh, no. Yeah. And that was the one thing that, that was the one stipulation he had is, he wanted it to be organic. Which I have, you know, obviously mad respect for. I sent him a, because I think initially I'd sent him a track and I had a verse on it, and you know, which a lot of people do, and then he's gonna lay it in his studio, and you know, you hope to see each other at some point. But he was insistent about coming over, and because again, he was still working with Farmouth and getting beats from him, and he was rather insistent about just doing it organic. Let's link up in the lab and just, you know, make it a real track.
And you guys,
I'm very glad it happened that way.
And you guys always have those memories too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So with the Lion King up and out and release and everything, what would you say is your favorite record on that? Or it's kind of hard to pick because, like, you don't really like to choose your favorite records on your projects.
Well, I'm really partial to Alpha, the intro.
Okay.
That's a flip. We flipped, Farmouth's gonna get pissed at me for saying this shit, but anybody who knows the band, The Doors, my favorite band of all time, and that's from one of their tracks called My Wild Love. And I mean, since I can even remember even grasping what a sample is, I knew as a kid I wanted to use that at some point. I tried to sample that goddamn thing 10 times in my life. And, you know, finally, I say, you know, it's probably, I don't know, a little over a year ago. I was sitting with Farmouth, we were in the snake pit over at the lab, and I showed him the sample. He's like, what is this? You know, and he pulled it in, and finally, you know, just flipped it, and he's got a completely different canvas in his head that he paints and he pulls from, you know what I mean? So we'll listen to the same song, like, for a sample, and we'll kind of know what we're going to sample, but it's just the way he does it, you know, he's a scientist with that shit. So I'm really, really partial to that one, and then, I think the title track, Lion King, is big to me, too, because, you know, that's just three verses back-to-back, no hook. Just kind of just, like, just, you know, just showing off a little bit. And, I was able to just relax a little bit. I wasn't so aggressive, like, I guess, like, you know, like, vocal tone-wise. And, but just giving the bars out, just letting them go. You know what I mean? I mean, there's a bunch. There's, you know, the collaboration tracks with other cats like Fat Father and Hatch and Bango. I mean, I love those. Those are always going to have a certain place in my heart. But, you know, just really just letting people have it and him able to exact on that vision that I had in my head is just, you know, that's a beautiful thing.
And also, too, with the title track, The Lion King, I noticed that I always wanted to ask artists this, too. You put the actual title track as a song into the track list, and I'm wondering, was that always a plan, or
here's the funny part again, just giving away secrets because I love it, but we were wrapping up the record, and we were like just kind of like cutting the fat off. There was a couple songs that I was like, wow, these are super dope, maybe we'll just release them later. You know, they didn't necessarily sonically fit the vision that we had in our head, and I, you know, I kind of looked over at Pat Farmouth. I said, I need one more, you know, and we were approaching deadline. I said, I need one more, you know, and they're shaking their head at me and shit. And I said, and this was going to be the Lion King. I said, let me sound off, you know, and they said, okay, you know, gave me the blessing. And, I went in a few days later, and, Farmouth and I were going through samples. And he's going through, and as soon as we heard that loop, it was a wrap. I started writing on the spot, and, you know, a couple of days later, came back with three verses. I said, okay, I'm ready, let's go. Let's finish this goddamn record already.
So, we have two, I love hearing about influence, too, and you kind of threw me off when you said The Doors is your favorite.
Yeah, man.
I was like, whoa, that took a laugh real quick. I was not expecting that.
I'm right now. I'm sitting in my little lab, and I've got a 4-foot Biggie painting from one of the homies, a best friend of mine. She got it for me. It's out of this artist in New York. And then to the right, I have a painting of Jim Morrison. You know, and behind that one, there's a Led Zeppelin, and then over here, there's a Wu-Tang. You know what I mean? Just you pull from everything.
So for somebody who never heard a Doors record, what would you recommend? The album, let's say.
The start right with the beginning.
Oh, for somebody who never heard a Doors record, which album would you recommend, sir?
Oh, man, you know what? I don't know if I'm the right person to ask because I'm so biased. I would have to start with any band like that, like, you know, the old 60s and 70s shit, like, it would be my opinion would be just start from the beginning and then just listen to the groups just grow and evolve or devolve, you know what I mean? Either way. And definitely with the Doors, you'd have to go with definitely the first album.
Well, I hate to say this, sir, but I think I am going to do that tonight.
Yeah, it's Jim Morrison, man. I the Lizard King. He just, you know, reading some of it. I mean, he's got more poetry out there than, you know, most MCs will put records out. That dude, man. You know, whether you know you want to say it was induced from any type of illegal substances or this and that, just cats like him and like, you know, Robert Plant, just some of those guys. I mean, they were just tuned in on a whole different level. You know, a whole different level. Well, you know, some of those bands like the King Crimson stuff and some of that shit is just beyond. You know, what in the world is going on here?
Yeah, because would you say they were way ahead of their time with the things they were talking about?
Yeah, and I think there's so much more going on that, you know, they just, you know, they're like, it's like some like clairvoyant type shit. Like, I don't even know how they tune into some of that stuff, you know, but, and if you think about the musical, the soundtrack that we made for them, it's like, shit, man. I mean, that's the best stuff in the world, you know, flat out.
Also, too, the first time I've ever, because I've heard, I'm not going to sit here and say I haven't heard it because I know of them. The first time I ever heard them, they were in a Need for Speed game with a song with Snoop Dogg. I'm like, well, this is random. It was a Need for Speed 2 Underground, I believe.
Yeah. You know what? I've heard that song.
Yeah, and I never remember the name. I always put in the Doors and Snoop Dogg, but that was the first Doors song I've ever heard. I'm like, this shit actually bangs.
Yeah. Holy shit, yeah. I do remember that. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm a big nerd when it comes to, like, video game soundtracks, because, like, there's a lot of good songs on video game soundtracks that the artists did not put on the actual album.
Yeah. And they did, like, little exclusives, and yep.
Shout out to Bishop Lamont for the True Crime Streets of L.A. That shit's still fire to this day. I noticed that you got one of my big supporters following you, and I'm just wondering if you ever had engagements with him. You know God Bless Beats?
Yeah, man.
So how'd you and Bless hook up? Because that's my dog right there.
So, I think I hit him up just randomly because I was listening to some of the stuff he made for, like Flea Mob and some of that stuff, and I was blown away. You know, like, my God, some of these beats are just insane. Like, dude's a phenom. So I hit him up and I was like, yo, blah, 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 you know, like, salute, King, this, you know, this shit is just fire. You know, he and I are going to actually be working on something. He's going to send me a pack pretty soon. And there's definitely going to be some Aztec and God Bless shit coming out pretty soon.
Oh, shit, I can't wait for that. Yeah, because Bless a real one right there. He's got some of the hardest beats for Flea. I actually interviewed Flea Lord and God Bless Beats, and they're both very, very good dudes.
Yeah.
So I believe that you can speak things into existence. Who would you say are some of your dream collaborations, Mr. Aztec?
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. You got to start with the home team first. I would love, you know, obviously with to do a joint with both Montgomery boys, you know, with Vish and Royce. You know, them dudes are just, you know, and some of the stuff, you know, you hear with them together. I think one of the first, like, big tracks I heard Vish on was, I think it was on Bar Exam.
Bar Exam 1?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, with DJ Premier and Static Selecta.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I found Vish, too.
Yeah. And, you know, just hearing that stuff, I was like, man, this is wild to me.
But, you know, definitely Royce and Vish. A lot of the cats in Detroit, you know, that I have the number one look up to and have wanted to collaborate with, have already been blessed and, you know, done that. Definitely One Below. He and I are, I don't know if you're familiar with One Below from out here.
I'm not, sir.
But, okay. I'm gonna send you some info on some of these guys. He's an absolute legend. He's a living legend. Front to back. I was super close to having Finale on the record. He and I will be working real soon. I'm sure if you're familiar with Finale.
Yes, sir.
He dropped a couple records on, I think his last record was on Mellow Music. As far as MCs, my content is nowhere near them, but I've been just wrapped up in everything that Griselda's done since we come out.
I feel you on that.
You know what I mean? It's some of the grimiest shit I've ever heard. And again, you know, our content, you know, is just nowhere near the same. But I mean, I would just love to just go fucking bar crazy with Conway. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you guys would make a dope collabo right there. That shit would sound fire off the rip.
I'd love that, man. And you know, producers. I mean, again, home team, definitely, you know, Mr. Porter, you know, Apollo, those kind of guys, 14KT, you know, the list goes on and on. Knots. Oh, and shout out to, there's a lot of shit I'm going to send you, just to peep out, the homie, V-Styles, he just dropped an absolute,
Dwayne Mellon, that's my dog right there, too.
Yeah, just an absolute monster of a project, man. I'm looking at his like the liner notes. I'm like, holy shit, man.
Yeah.
Like, did you leave anything else for anybody else? Like, and that record is that's a classic record for sure.
He also told me too that for the vinyl too, there's gonna be a few remixes featuring members of the home team.
Wow. Okay.
So, yeah, V-Styles, nice. Shout out to V-Styles right there. He the homie right there. And Guilty Simpson, too.
Yeah, for sure. And the brother, Bing Belushi, Littlefinger Music. I'm not sure if you've seen what's going on with him. He just dropped...
with Kid Gordy and Guilty first Simpson? One.
That's got Guilty Simpson and King Gordy. It's called Shooter. That's been hitting a lot of blogs. Shout out to... Weekly Rap Gods and Insomniac Magazine, all those guys are showing love.
When I do my homework, too, you had me dying in some of these interviews. I watched an interview with you when you said where people could find you, and you said you could probably find me here or on your stepmom's cell phone. Jesus Christ, I fucking die laughing at that. Have you ever thought?
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about being a stand-up comedian?
You know what? It's really funny. I don't know if my cousin will ever hear this, but I did it real spontaneous improv out here in Ann Arbor one night, and it started off kind of creepy, and but I think I kind of knew that I was going to allude to something like that and just kind of weird some people out, and then I just got like really just normal and real with them and like slapstick kind of shit, you know what I mean? A little bit of like self-degrading, like humor, and but I have. I definitely have. I enjoy making people laugh, man.
So if the opportunity ever came up, would you do like a full run of it if the first show was successful?
I think if I had enough time to write, because I mean, again, that'd be like the same thing as like writing a battle or writing a song.
Yeah.
That's something I'd love to do that, man. Just having time to write enough material, and I know a couple guys that actually do improv like on the regular, and man, I get nervous watching them just for them, and just, you know, just again being comfortable in that skin is similar to, you know, doing like battle rap kind of thing, right?
Yeah, because you have to dedicate your time for that if you really want to succeed.
Yeah, and you know your material's got to be the best that you have at that moment. might not be the best you ever had, but at that moment, you gotta, you know, present your best self kind of thing.
Very true. Because I know you're a busy man, sir. This is a question, and it's also the last question I ask all my guests, too.
Okay.
Would you have any words for somebody in a dark place trying to see the light?
I guess, and I don't know if you've heard the saying, but, you know, sometimes people that think that, you know, only sunshine provides happiness, you know, you got to ask yourself if you've ever danced in the rain, you know. I think there's a lot to be said about soul searching when looking for, you know, I'm a believer in there's really no right or wrong path. It's just the one that you choose. You know, you go left, you right, you go middle. It's just it's the one you choose. You know, with in my opinion, with the brightest light, you know, it starts. It all, everything comes from dark. It's where we came from. You know, I guess, you know, to sum that up, trust in the people around you that, you know, that obviously that are invested in you, and be willing to, number one, ask for, and number two, accept help. You know, a lot of people get pigheaded, whether it's male or female alike. We tend to try to do things and, you know, carry the load by ourselves. And that's not really how, that's not realistic. That's not how it works. I work in my old high school in Detroit, and you know, as something I tell my students every day, I'm like, listen, you can't do it by yourself. You can't. It's impossible. Nobody can. So in order to lighten that load, and maybe, you know, again, like you said, see, you know, trying to come out of that darkness is, you know, you got to put your hand out. You got to put your hand out, and, you know, sometimes you're looking for somebody to pull you up, or somebody you have to pull that person up yourself. So, you know, there's a lot of satisfaction that comes too in actually helping others. So, just trying to find those positive outlets, and, you know, surround yourself around people, genuine people. You know, it doesn't have to be five. It doesn't have to be 500. Just have somebody you can talk to and trust.
Man, that's
what I would say.
That's a really good answer.
Thanks.
Is there anything that you would like to plug in before I let you go, Mr. Aztec?
Again, just go to Middle Finger Music, middlefingermusic313.com. I have the shirts up for sale, the Lion King shirts, the CDs. We have all of the Foul Mouth merch up there. We have the Middle Finger shirts. Pretty soon, Pat's going to kill me for saying this, but we're going to have the tapes up, the Lion King tapes. Probably gonna get some hoodies soon. Make sure you check out Ricky Pierce, the first video, a visual off the Lion King. Definitely stay tuned, stay plugged for the Bang Belushi project coming out, Adventures of Bang Belushi. Obviously produced entirely by Foul Mouth. Shout out to the whole team, Jimbo Jones. A name you're gonna be hearing real soon as well. Catchphrase. Absolute just monster. We've definitely got a lot of things, the pipeline coming that you know, are going to catch people off guard. I've got 2 projects I'm going to be working on real soon. I mean, I've already you know, just been writing for and collecting beats for. They're going to drop soon, real soon. So again, like I said, it's a matter of staying consistent, and just trying to be a master of the craft. So. And shout out to you, bro. I really, really appreciate it, man. You being patient, and you know, it's things like this that honestly that just reaffirm to artists on any level. Man, it's like, you know what? Somebody cares. Somebody wants to take the time. So I'm humbled by that, bro. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate that too, sir. It's always a pleasure when real artists, you know, want to talk about their crafts. You know, so
of course.
Thank you, sir, for doing this. I appreciate that. I'm always loyal to my fans, so best believe anything you put out, I'm a cop dad.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, Tears, sir. And with that being said, I think that's the perfect way to end another episode from the Desk of Low, featuring Aztec the Butterfly.
My man.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.